The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
I'm Richard Paul Evans, author of the best-selling Michael Vay series. For more than 6 years, readers from around the world have followed Michael Vay and his friends as they battled Dr. Hatch and the Elgin. Then, at the end of Book 6, Michael Vay was struck by lightning. Now everyone's asking, where's Michael? You're about to find out. Book 7, the last book of the Michael Vay series, is on sale now. Find out why Glenn Beck says Michael Vay is fantastic. Michael Vay, The Final Spark, on sale now. Pick up your copies today.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.
The day my life changed happened in a cafeteria at Yale University. And the guy sitting across the table was Wayne Meeks. He doesn't even know this, but he changed my life. He changed the course of my life. I was 30 years old. I was early in the recovery of my alcoholism. The day I started school literally was the day I asked for a divorce. And I was just searching. I had been searching for answers. And I had gotten into Yale University and I couldn't believe it because when I sent for my transcripts, I thought I was like a C or D student. And I wasn't. I was a straight A student. And that's not that wasn't my memory at all. My memory had so decayed and I had been so down on myself over the years that I really had convinced myself that I was pretty stupid and always had been. And so when I put my transcripts together and I, put my package together and sent it in for special student status at Yale, I really didn't expect to get in. Then when I did get in, oof, I was like, I don't think I can do this. And my professor said to me one day, he said, Mr. Beck, after I had questioned him on something, he said, can I see you after class? I said, yes, sir. After class, he said, come have lunch with me. So we sat in this cafeteria, this Ivy League, hallowed halls, oak paneled room. And he said, what are you doing here? And I said, I'm just looking for answers. I have never spent any time in my life trying to figure things out. And I realize that I don't know anything. And I'm really looking for answers. And he said, what are you reading? And I told him. And he said, who's guiding you through that? And I said, either Mr. Barnes or Mr. Noble. I'm not sure which, but I'm just going into the bookstore. And I'm looking for people who disagree with each other. And I'm comparing and contrasting. He said, you're doing that on your own? I said, yes. And I'm so confused. I don't even know. He reached across the table as I was in the middle of that. My hand was down on the cafeteria table. And he reached over and he put his hand on top of mine and he said, listen to me. You know you belong here, right? You know you're smart enough to be here. I think I answered yes, but the answer in my head was no. Him saying that to me gave me the confidence to know it's going to be okay. Sometimes one conversation can change the course of so much. There was a caller to this program. He didn't know me. We had never met. I'd never talked to him before. He had never talked to me. And yet his phone call changed the course of my life. He called in to tell me what he believed. And what he believed was that we were all alone.
The problem is, today, and I believe this, I believe that we're outnumbered now. I don't believe...
We're not. We're
I
not.
Know you say that, and I knew
we're
you were going to get mad
damn
at me.
It.
I knew
Ed,
it.
We're not outnumbered. We are not outnumbered.
You look at
you know
the
what,
polls.
I got you know what,
every,
I am... look, here's right. The thing. You, Ed, you give me a month to prove this. I am going to find a way to prove this to you. I, you know what, Stu? I'm going to give you, Ed, you hang on the phone. I want to get a phone number from you.
Yep.
Okay? Yeah, thank you for calling. And Ed, you are the probably you could be the most important caller that I have ever received in my career.
Glenn, you please remember the first sentence I said when I called on the phone.
I understand. I appreciate, Ed, that I just appreciate it. And you may be the most important person in my life because you may have changed and finally given me the impetus to actually find the way to prove it to you.
9/11 caused so much heartbreak in America, but it didn't harden our hearts. When the wreckage settled after 9/11, Americans everywhere united. We didn't even know what to do. But we knew what we had was worth fighting for. But we weren't given any real specific direction except go shopping. I still believe in who we are at our core. We are the people that we were on 9/12. We are the people of Hurricane Harvey. People who are thirsty. They are thirsty to be involved to help their fellow man. So Ed calls me, and he did change the course of my life. I knew who we were, and it was that call that gave birth to the 9/12 Project. It was a grassroots initiative that spread like wildfire. We had 6 months before 9/12. We had a watch party, if you will. I asked everybody, watch at 5 o'clock, and people gathered all over the country. Do you remember watching it together?
No matter where you are, from our studio audience here in Midtown Manhattan, to the sidewalks outside, to the people all over the country, just a few blocks away in Times Square, where there are people viewing parties. They're holding regular viewing parties. It started with people and by people, just regular people like you, like Joyce in Melbourne, Florida, whose party grew so large that she moved it from her restaurant to the parking lot outside, to the gatherings in Noah's in South Jordan, Utah, to homes in Golden Valley, Arizona, and Brewer, Maine, to the garage bar in Columbus, Ohio, and virtually every small town and big city in between in this great nation. There are people gathering in ranches in Texas, where some familiar faces have gathered to watch the show, to military bases in Iraq, where real heroes have gathered.
I don't think I've seen those images until just now, since that day. Amazing people who were not just watching a television show. They came together because they believed in a few things. The 9 principles and the 12 values. That America is good. That there is a God. That we have to try to be more honest than we were yesterday. That our families are sacred. And my spouse and my family, we are the ultimate authority, not the government. And if you break the law, you have to pay the penalty. And justice is blind and no one is above that. That I do have a God-given right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But there's no guarantee of equal results. And I've worked hard for what I have. And I will share it with who I want to. And the government can't force me to be charitable. And it's not un-American for me to disagree with authority or share my personal opinion. And the government works for me. I don't answer to them. They answer to me. Those were the principles. They're still true today. The values of honesty and reverence and hope and thrift and humility and charity, sincerity, moderation, hard work, courage, personal responsibility, and gratitude. It might sound like a big ask to a lot of people just to live those things, but people rise to the level of their preparedness and their knowledge. They don't rise to the level of their expectations. the reason why people today are rising up to help the people in the flood, and they're just giving everything, is because that's how they were raised and prepared by parents. I just wanted to prove that to Ed and to myself, that there was a majority of Americans that care enough about their country to do their homework. Television is a great medium. It's like anything in the free market. It can be used for good or can be used for evil. A lot of people think I used it for evil. I tried so hard to use it for good. Television can be really isolating. And on August 28th, 2010, I invited everybody to join me on the mall in Washington, D.C. I really had no expectation. I had no idea how many people would show up. We didn't have unions and organizers all over the country that were bringing people in. It was just up to you and your local church or whatever you wanted to do. And to my shock, 500,000 people showed up in Washington, D.C.
This day is a day that we can start the heart of America again. And it has nothing to do with politics. It has everything to do with God. Everything, turning our face back to the values and the principles that made us great.
But this was not just an American thing. And it wasn't just about honor. What was coming required us to also have courage. And so the next year, when we were starting a network, our very first internet broadcast was international. Quite a feat. It was from Israel, which we thought might turn into a war zone just because of the things we had to say there.
I ask you to turn your eyes to Israel and restore courage. I have been asked by the press over and over again, what is it you think you can teach Israel about courage? My answer is simple. Nothing. They asked me then, so then why would you come to Israel? Because I say, in Israel, you see courage.
Americans are resilient, but only if we're prepared. We're made from tough stock, man. Really tough. We crossed the oceans to get here. We were broke. We were penniless. We crossed the mountains with oxen. 2012, we had gone through a lot. 11 years of labor. And there was one more piece to put together if we were going to make it. It was honor, courage, but most importantly, it was love. From the heart of Texas, it was time to remind everybody and those unbreakable values and principles of the 9/12 Project from Cowboy Stadium.
There are two kinds of Americans, and they're not Democrats and Republicans. They're not God-fearing and God-doubting. They're not black and white. They're bigger than that. Much bigger. There are two kinds of Americans. Those who like to be pushed, and those who push themselves. Those who see our problems and refuse to see our blessings.
Close your eyes for a second and just imagine that we are in an oak paneled room. And that you are saying to me the same thing that you probably said to your wife or husband last night or in the last 24 hours. I don't know. I don't have any. I don't know. I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know. Let me reach across and put my hand on top of yours and say, you know you belong here, right? you know you're in the right place. Even if you don't believe it yet yourself, believe me, you're going to make it.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.
I'm Richard Paul Evans, author of the best-selling Michael Vay series. For more than 6 years, readers from around the world have followed Michael Vay and his friends as they battled Dr. Hatch and the Elgin. Then, at the end of Book 6, Michael Vay was struck by lightning. Now everyone's asking, where's Michael? You're about to find out. Book 7, the last book of the Michael Vay series, is on sale now. Find out why Glenn Beck says Michael Vay is fantastic. Michael Vay, The Final Spark, on sale now. Pick up your copies today.